You're listening to the Intuitive Souls podcast. I am your host, Tara Caruso, and this podcast is designed to educate, inspire, and enlighten. Let's wake up together. Hey guys, welcome to the Intuitive Souls podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. I am super excited that the universe led you here. If you are an OG and you keep on coming back and you keep listening, you know I fucking love you. You know I say this every episode, but I do. You guys make this so much fun, so easy for me, and I appreciate all of the love and support that you guys give. And if this podcast is helping you, if it's giving you tools, if it's giving you the conversations that you need to hear, if you have a minute, if you can head on over to iTunes and write a review, I would really appreciate it. Those reviews allow me to get this podcast to the ears that need to hear it. But before you go ahead and click submit, make sure you take a picture or a screenshot and send it to me at hello@ericarusso.co, no M, and I'd like to send you my soul alignment activation for free just as a thank you because, you know, I know how fucking busy life is, and I know that it's very much appreciated that you take the time out to do that for me. So thank you in advance. Now, in this episode, a long story short, I have a lot of ideas that I want to do with this podcast. I have a lot of topics that I want to talk about. And since the beginning, I always wanted to bring someone on who's experienced a near-death experience. Now, I have a lot of mediums on the show. You know, me and Jenny talk every month, and we talk to you about, you know, the process of death and the process of reincarnation and mediumship through a medium's eyes, right? What we have learned through our own mediumship development and growth and doing what we do, and just as human beings, and that's what we are able to give you. But, you know, I always wanted to bring someone on who's actually experienced death firsthand. And I was able and lucky enough to connect with Ali Bale on TikTok. And I told her, I was like, listen, I want you to come on the show. And we set something up. And she was so open and honest and vulnerable about the whole experience. And it was just so beautiful to just listen to just the experience. You know, I've doing this work and learning about spirit and the afterlife and reincarnation and everything, I've just become so much more interested in just the spirit world and what actually does happen when we pass. Like, what does it look like? What does it feel like? And to have someone who's actually experienced it to come on and talk about it, it was just so amazing. So thank you so much, Ali, for coming on and just being so open and, you know, talking about it, because I'm sure that it does bring up, you know, a lot of healing and trauma, and it's just, thank you for coming on. And, you know, this was a really eye-opening experience for me. She talked about the power of gratitude and just gave so much more than just her experience. She gave a lot of wisdom, and just be sure to really listen and to really allow yourself to be open to the whole experience. Because if there's anything I would like, it's to show people that death is a part of life, and it's something that we should not fear. Because, you know, it's so funny because I have TikToks that people comments that I talk about mediumship and death and stuff, because I want it to be a more acceptable thing to talk about, because we have to remember that there's only two absolutes in life, and that's birth and death. And I want people to know that it's not scary. It's actually pretty peaceful, and her experience just shows just that. So be sure to follow her on TikTok and Instagram. All of her information is in the show notes for you. Again, enjoy the show, and I will see you soon.
You guys, today I have the pleasure of having Allie Bale on the podcast. So, short story, I don't know if you guys saw my TikTok about the afterlife. I did a very quick skit, and she commented, and I knew I just had to bring her on the show. She has actually experienced a near-death experience herself. She's an absolute warrior. She is here to share her experience with you guys because I feel like I can only give you so much. I never had a near-death experience. I can only talk about my mediumship and what I've learned, but I really wanted someone who's experienced it to come on and talk to you guys about it. So, Allie, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited for this.
Oh my God, me too. I mean, I can't wait to hear about your story. So tell us a little bit about who you are and really how all of this happened, how this near-death experience occurred, and, you know, just what was it like for you?
Okay, so I'll start back in 2014 with who I was back then. Back in 2014, I was living in Las Vegas, Nevada. I was married at the time, and I was also working for a luxury goods company, which was pretty cool. During that time, though, my husband was getting deployed, and he wasn't, I think it was like a 6 or 7 month deployment. Yeah, 6 or 7 month deployment. And so I had the whole condo to myself. I was working 16 to 18 hour days. I was not eating the right food because I was working so much, and I was just like, it's just me. So I was going to eating all the crappy junk food, all the processed poison is what a lot of people call it. Packaged poison, if you will. And then what I was doing is I was working so much and then I couldn't sleep, because I would have to close the store down and then I would have to open the next morning. So I was drinking 9 venti sized coffees a day. 9.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Wow. I was not taking good care of myself. I was not drinking water. I was not eating fruits and vegetables, which is what I used to. But I just got so wrapped up in that busy, I need it right now, lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And, so with eating crappy foods like that and not drinking enough water, I noticed that I wasn't able to go to the bathroom and my stomach was just really extended. I looked like I was pregnant and I was like, uh-oh, what's going on there? So one of my favorite, hydrotherapy places in Las Vegas. I went there for a colonic, which I rant and rave about colonics all on my Instagram. Anyways, so I went there and just trying to move some of that old stool out. And I was in extreme pain too, because I wasn't able to eat anything. It was getting really bad. And so I went there and the hydrotherapy didn't really work. Not nearly as much stool should have came out. So I was like, well, maybe I should schedule a appointment on base. And because I was a military wife. So I scheduled an appointment and they're like, it's going to be 3 weeks out. I was like, I've already been 11 days without a bowel movement. I need to get in as soon as possible. Well, they're like, well, okay, well, you can go ahead and go to the ER. So I did.
Wow.
And I don't know who's listening right now who has actually been to a military hospital or has been given military care. It is below subpar. You are not going to have a good experience. So this is where it really all started, was going to the base doctors, going to that ER.
Yeah.
So I go there to the ER and I was like, okay, I'm having all this abdominal pain and I'm having migraines too, because all these toxins are just sitting in my stomach. And after a while, the toxins need to go somewhere. So it's going to bleed out throughout your body. And so they're like, okay, well, we're going to give you an x-ray and CT, and then we're going to give you some pain meds because we see that you're in pain and you're going to drink this stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, what does this stuff do? And they're like, well, it's mainly for colonoscopy patients, but it's going to help flush out all that toxins and all that stool. And I was like, great, I'm good to go. Mm-hmm. Well, I get sent home, I go home, and I drank the entire gallon worth of Go Lightly. That's what it's called, Go Lightly. And it's around 9 o'clock at night, and I'm still not able to go to the bathroom. I don't feel anything moving. I feel so nauseous that I could just throw up. And I was just like, you know what? I have to be at work at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'm just going to go to bed. So I go to bed. Could not really sleep. And I wake up the next day, go to work, and my boss is like, what's wrong with you? And I said, well, I went to the ER last night because I'm having problems going to the bathroom, and I don't feel well. And she's like, yeah, you look like crap. Go back to the ER. So I go back to the ER. And I'm dealing with the same doctor that I had to the first round. And he accused me of not drinking the Go Lightly. And he also said that that he did see the stool in my x-rays and that we just got to wait till it comes out. So I go back to the ER with him, and I'm talking to him, and he's accusing me that I didn't drink it. And I said, well, give me another one and I'll drink it right in front of you. He's like, no, you can't do that. And I said, why not? I'm your patient. So I drink the second round, and I'm still waiting for this to come out, and nothing is moving inside of my stomach. And now I have two things that go lightly into it. I'm still receiving x-rays and CTs, and my body at this point is starting to shake because not only am I in a ton of pain, I'm in shock. So all this is just like building up and building up, and my migraines are like, it's just getting to the point where I'm not able to physically do anything. So the next day I have, I don't have to work, and I don't have to work the day after that, thankfully. And I'm still waiting for this to come out of my system. Nothing happens. And I go back to the ER for the third time. They're like, we're going to give you more x-rays and CTs, and we're going to do x-rays and CTs of your neck too, just because the migraines could be something separate. And I was like, okay, cool. That visit, they just gave me more Dilaudid, more, what is that called? Tylenol, like the extra strength Tylenol. And then they sent me home again. And they're like, it's going to come out sooner or later. Just keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. It's going to come out. I'm like, okay. So fast forward to the fourth and fifth time. The fifth time I go to the ER is the time that I was finally admitted. And the only reason why they did not turn me away that time and give me more Go Lightly and give me more Dilaudid and more Tylenol is because my white blood cells dropped down to 1.9. And they immediately had me in the ICU. They had the most disgusting contaminated ICU unit that I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, people that were supposed to come into my room were supposed to be completely gowned, and they weren't. They were supposed to have masks on, and they weren't. Like,
oh my
God. Like, my immune system is so low right now. Like, they pretty much neglected that entire first couple days that I was in there. So then when my white blood cells get back up, they switch me to another room, which I'm content with. And like, I'm still having these bad migraines, and I'm still not able to go to the bathroom. At this point, like, I'm so delusional. I don't know what's going on because my head, I can't think straight. And my friends that are coming to see me on base, they're like, Allie, you don't look good. And I'm like, I don't know what else to do. I'm under their care. So, the doctor comes in and he goes, how are you feeling? And my eyes at this point are like completely blown, and I have really blue eyes and you cannot see the iris. So they're like, well, we think that you have meningitis. We're going to give you a spinal tap or a lumbar puncture and see if you have meningitis. And I was like, okay, cool. So I'm laying there. My eyes are looking like an alien. I'm still in so much pain from my stomach and not being able to go to the bathroom. They do the lumbar puncture. And my friends are in the same room with me. Three of my friends are in the same room with me while the lumbar puncture is going on. It's supposed to be like a sterile environment type thing whenever you go into somebody's cerebral spinal fluid. Anyways, they do the lumbar puncture, and somehow my cerebral spinal fluid is contaminated. And that's when I have my first seizure. And whenever I come to, my friend is holding my hand. My friend Caitlin is holding my hand. And I say, Caitlin, when did you get here? And everybody in the room is looking at each other like, what do you mean? Like, the doctors didn't take my confusion as a symptom, as something else is going on. So neurologically, something else is going on because her friends are here and she didn't recognize that they came in. So after that lumbar puncture, they moved me. Which, after you have a lumbar puncture, you are not supposed to be moved you're going to give that person one hell of a migraine. And I was in there in that room for, I don't know how many days it was. I think it was like 4 or 5 days that I was in that room. Well, finally, I was able to go to the bathroom. I didn't have meningitis. They were just waiting for my bowels basically to move. Like they couldn't figure out what was going on with me. They didn't give me like a definitive diagnosis. They just kept doing these tests and these x-rays and ECTs to see what was going on. During that time, I never saw a neurologist. I saw one gastroenterologist, but I already had a scheduled colonoscopy for the end of that month going on because I was having stomach problems. Like we already set up that colonoscopy to be scheduled. That's the only doctor that I saw. So the day that I was discharged from that hospital, they gave me another patient's medication. Yeah. And the medication was a diuretic. So I already have a migraine, so they were trying to keep me hydrated. And with everything going on, I needed the hydration. The diuretic took away everything. And I was peeing like no other. Mm-hmm. So when they discharged me, they sat me up and I stood up and I was so dizzy. Like it was almost like tunnel vision was going on and it was like blacking in and out. And I got really weak. So they wheeled me out all the way down to the ER where my friend was supposed to come pick me up. And they leave me outside in the middle of November sitting, or in the middle of December sitting right in front of the ER by myself. That's illegal to do. You can't leave a patient without somebody going into her care. Like you can't do that. So my friend Erica comes and picks me up with her two dogs. And I love those two dogs to death. And at that time, I could smell everything. My senses were through the roof. I wasn't able to look at lights because my eyes still looked like I was an alien. I was having horrible migraines still the entire time. It was like a 20-minute ride back to her house. And she gets me to her house, and I lay in her bed for over 24 hours. I didn't move. And during that time is whenever I had this near-death experience. So the way that I can explain to somebody how my near-death experience worked is imagine yourself out inside of the cosmos and you're going down a wormhole that is so fast and it is so vibrant and you are traveling at the speed of light. And then like you get to this beautiful area and you just feel like this warmth over your body and you feel like this almost like a welcoming home, like you are home type feeling, and you just feel all the love and all the happiness. And during this time, like while I get to this area, I see the most beautiful colors, like of peaches and orange and little yellows and pinks, and it's just so beautiful and so magical. Like you feel at one with the cosmos and you feel at one with yourself and with everybody. I mean, everybody throughout the universe, you just feel like you can feel everybody's happiness all the time. And it's an amazing thing. So I hear, while I'm in this area, I hear so many people talking, but I can't understand what they're saying. And then I have this entity come to me and he's like, my name is Raphael and I'm here to help you. Sorry, I'm going to get emotional. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He's like, I'm here to help you. And he explained to me what was going on, like that my soul decided to leave my body and that I am here with him in this amazing area and that I have the option to go back to Earth and to live the rest of my human experience during this lifetime if I want to, or I can go with him. And my soul will have to relive everything that I have already experienced on Earth because I have not learned all of the lessons that I came here to do. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I've been through so much heartache. I don't know how much more I could take. And I kept, like, negotiating to him, trying to figure out different ways that I can start my healing journey for all of the heartache. Like you carry so much heartache into your heart chakra that a lot of people don't even realize it. your subconscious realizes it, but your whole body, your conscious self doesn't realize it. Anyways, so I'm there with him. And he goes, if you decide to come back to Earth, you're going to have to deal with more heartache, but you are going to come out so much stronger than what you did. You're going to be so much better mentally, spiritually, and emotionally than you have ever been in any other lifetime that you've lived. And during my death process, this happens a lot. So during your death process, your soul and your body and your mind can get to a point where it doesn't know what's going on and it goes into complete freak out mode. So a fraction of your, a part of your soul will fraction away from itself and it will go into another realm or it will go into another density or live a completely different experience. I mean, it's still you, but it could incarnate into a completely different experience because it's not whole. Mm-hmm. And Raphael told me that my soul fractioned away from itself. And when I am ready, I can retrieve a part of that soul if I decide to come back to Earth. And, but the things that I have to do is I need to start my healing journey. I need to start my self-love journey because I haven't been doing that during this entire lifetime while I've been here for my 32 years of existence on planet Earth. And he goes, I can't retrieve it right now. It's too far away, but I can take your soul right now and put you back into your body. And I said, I want to come back. And so I did. And when Raphael placed me back into my body, it was like, it was the most physical pain that I've ever felt in my entire life. And what I mean by that is like, I felt like I was just hit by a truck. Like I was just standing in the middle of the road and a truck just came and just hit me. That's what it felt like. And I was in a lot of pain like that for a while. Mm-hmm. So while I'm at my friend's house, she comes back home and she's like, you haven't moved. And I went to work and I was gone for a while. And she's like, I don't know what to do because of HIPAA regulations, but I need to call your family. And mind you, my husband at the time is still deployed. Like he's talking to my friends, but, he's not able to come home. He's not able to come home and take care of me. So my friends who were there with me at the hospital, they get a hold of my family and one of my family members flies out to Las Vegas to take care of me. And during this time, I still have the alien eyes going on. I'm not able, my speech is all messed up. I'm not able to form complete sentences like I am with you guys. And, like during this time, like I'm able to go to the bathroom, but nothing makes sense to me. I'm not able to walk by myself. The lights are just excruciating to me. And, all of my senses are heightened. So anybody that has perfume on, anything synthetic, any meat product, like I've been vegan since I was 13. So any meat product, I just feel like I'm going to vomit or I do vomit at the time. And, so I'm highly sensitive to everything. And my family member came and got me and she's like, I cannot take care of you out here. I need to go back to work. I'm flying you back to Ohio and I'm going to take care of you there. And I said, okay. And that plane ride, I just kept having more seizures, but my seizures and my grand mal seizures and my auras are like, it's like, again, it's like my near death experience. I am traveling so fast down the wormhole and I'm seeing these beautiful colors that I've never seen here on Earth. They're so vibrant and amazing. And I'm out in the cosmos and it honestly just looks like I'm in the most beautiful nebula that I've ever seen photographed from any of the telescopes through deep space. And it's, you know, like medical doctors call it auras. But the way that my soul feels it is that I am out there looking for my fractured soul, that I am out there exploring the cosmos and my consciousness has left itself to the point where I am able to see different parts of the world that nobody else has experienced before. Mm-hmm. Some people would call it astral projection. Mm-hmm. But like after I have those auras, I'm down for 3 to 4 days at a time. I can't do anything. I'm completely bedridden. And while I'm back in Ohio, I'm still having these auras and they are continuous. And I ended up being bedridden for 2 years where I wasn't able to do anything for myself. I wasn't able to shave. I wasn't able to make food. I wasn't able to walk. I had a wheelchair. I had a walker. I had a cane. And that time back then, I was 26 years old. So for a 26 year old to go through all that and just to not live the life that they were intended to, what people would, society would consider normal. I was completely taken back by that because one, I never experienced anything like that before. I mean, before all that happened, I was relatively healthy. I would eat fruits and vegetables. I would drink my water. It was just during the time where I neglected my own body, and my body and my soul was like, hold up, girl.
Yeah.
We got some exploring to do and you got to hold on for the ride. So, I was bedridden for 2 years and I had home health nurses. And during this time, my husband at the time was a firefighter, is a firefighter. And his work schedule was to the point where he was never home. And then whenever he was home, he wasn't helping me like do the daily activities, making sure I was fed, making sure I had enough hydration. And I relied on my home health nurses so much to the point where if it wasn't for this one particular home health nurse, I would not be where I am today. She looked at me and looked at all of the 11 medications that I had. And she's just like, you can continue to live this life and you can continue to be bedridden, or I can do something that is not Western approved and I can help you live a better life. And I looked at her and I just started bawling. I said, I want the better life. And with her, she put me on a 60-day juice cleanse. She brought over her juicer for me. She helped me with with enemas, which is a white bean coffee enema to help flush out all those toxins because my stomach was still extended. I looked like I was pregnant. Like all that stool was just backed up into there and it's so bad for the body. Mm-hmm. So then, what was I doing? Oh yeah. So she was doing the juice cleanse with me. She was doing the white bean coffee enema. She was showering me. She was feeding me, the good foods, the foods that my body needed to survive. And then my friends, Jess and Dan, they got me hooked on doTERRA essential oils. And that's what I converted into medicine because conventional, those 11 prescription medications were killing me. And a lot of people don't know this is 187,000 Americans die each year from taking their prescribed medications properly. I was on 11 medications that were all contradicting one another. And whenever I left that hospital, I was diagnosed. I went to two hospitals. Sorry, you may have to edit this. So I went to two different hospitals because I completely forgot that part. And the 11 medications that I was on were contradicting one another. So the medications that I was on for my seizure medication, I had medication for the radiation poisoning that I had because of all the CTs and the x-rays that they gave me. Like the max radiation scans that you're supposed to have a year is 4. I had 26 within a 5-week period.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah. Like I should have died. Like on my chest, you can see the little radiation burns and the bubbles. I mean, I look like Chernobyl. It was awful. And so I was on that. I was on migraine medication. I was on medication to help me go to the bathroom. I was on medication to help calm down my gallbladder because my gallbladder was inflamed at the time. And that's 5 alone, but I had almost like 2 for each one because they didn't know what to do with me. They're just like, we're going to push all these meds at her and see which one figures out or what one works. So then, so my home health nurse, like I wasn't able to do anything. I wasn't able to walk, all that stuff, right? And I had these blackout curtains in my room. And Celeste, my home health nurse, what she would do is she played meditation music for me the entire time that she was there on YouTube. It was free. It was the live music. She played that for me all the time. So I mastered meditation during those 2 years because I wasn't able to do anything else. I couldn't read. I couldn't watch TV. I couldn't sit up, couldn't do nothing. And if it wasn't for her walking into my life, I would more than likely be dead because of all the medications that I was on. I mean, I fought so hard to survive and I negotiated with Raphael to come back here to fulfill my life's purpose. And what a lot of people don't realize is, like, yeah, we are living a human experience in a spiritual world, but we get to dictate any and everything that we do through free will. And we get distracted by so many things that infringe upon our own free will that we don't fulfill our life's purpose. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, coming back and seeing all the progress that I did with my home health nurse and having to go through speech therapy and having to go through physical therapy and occupational therapy and all this other stuff, to see how strong that I thought that I was not, looking back, and I'm just like, I don't know how I did that. Like, I don't know how I was able to do all the things that I did and still, like now be here today. Like, I can walk on my own. I can actually eat all the good food, and I'm able to have a conversation with somebody again. Like, I was not able to do that 6 years ago.
Wow. Were you a spiritual, did you consider yourself a spiritual person prior to this traumatic experience? Did you believe in angels? Did you believe in the afterlife?
Oh, I definitely believed in the afterlife. Ever since I was a child, I've never had the connection to my biological parents that I do with other people. So I felt like my parents were not my parents. And a lot of starseeds have this feeling. Mm-hmm. A lot of starseeds or like indigo children feel like that they are not where they're supposed to be, but they are trying to figure out their way to get there. So I've known since I was a young child, because I was seeing spirits in my parents' home when I was 6 years old. And I was having these vivid dreams or these lucid dreams where spirits would come and talk to me. And then they would show me different experiences, or like I have precognitive clairvoyance and a lot of people, it's like you're peeking behind the curtain to know what's going on in the future, but you just got to figure out, like, it's a way to show you that you're on the right path. You know what I mean? And what I loved about all my dreams and all my experiences as a child is it basically prepared me so much for my near-death experience. And I didn't realize it. Like, I was so scared as a young child to have those experiences and to know that we're going to die someday, but it's not scary. It's not death is not filled full of grief or sorrow or misery, like so many people have been ingrained to think, or like they're just like, oh yeah, that's never gonna happen to me, or like people's perception of heaven and hell. Do I believe that I was in heaven with Raphael? I mean, I believe in archangels. I believe in angels. I believe in negative, low vibe entities because I've seen them. I've seen both spectrums of them. It is so much easier to see negative entities and have negative experiences because people are not raising their vibration and because people are not doing the shadow work that we are meant to do to get us to a point that's going to be like, I don't have to live this lesson again through life, you know?
Yeah.
So I believe that I was in a part of a different realm. I wouldn't necessarily call it heaven, because I recognize so many people. I had a reading done with one of my favorite psychics, and she's like, your spirit animal and one of your ancestors is called white owl. And what is so interesting to me is I'm drawn to white owls. I'm drawn to animals that are very fluffy and very very majestic. Like, I have two Great Pyrenees, and whenever I adopted my first dog, I was actually going to adopt a rabbit, a white rabbit. I wasn't going to adopt a dog, and I saw her and I was like, she's it. I was just immediately drawn to her.
Mm-hmm. So I love that you said, I don't love talking about death, but I love talking about it with someone who's open to it and has experienced that kind of thing, because I think I did the TikTok just because I want people to know that death it's us on the physical realm that grieve. It's us. It's not the person who has passed over.
Right. You
know, all of those negative emotions, all of those human emotions are left here when we pass over. We don't feel that. You know what I mean? And I think so many people are so afraid that, you know, the people that they love who have crossed over are in pain or they're suffering or they never got to say goodbye. And it's just, I want people to understand that it's like, we're the ones holding the grief.
Exactly.
They're the ones feeling the fear.
Exactly.
Not them. They're good. They're good as hell up there, you know? Yep. And it's nice to hear it from somebody else because I can talk to, you know, I've had this talk with Jenny Juranix, who's a psychic medium in Canada and stuff. And it's like, we can only tell you what we get, you know, we can only tell you the information that we get from spirit, you know? I've never had a near-death experience. I've read a lot of books. I've read Journey of Souls. I've read all of those, you know, past many lives, many masters. And they all say the same thing. Just like you were saying, the tunnel and everything like that and the vivid colors, they all say the same thing.
Yep. That's exactly how it is though.
Right. And I'm just, you know, and a lot of people are just still so afraid of death. And I get it because we have loved ones here. We have children and everything like that. But I feel like there's enough evidence out there between people who have experienced it and the books and everything that it's like, we shouldn't be so afraid of it because there's only two things. When we sign up to reincarnate, we have to remember that we only have two things given to us and that's birth and death.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
But so since your near-death experience, your spiritual awakening, what have been, since you've kind of opened your eyes and realized, you know, the healing process and everything, what have been some of the things that you've learned along the way?
Oh my goodness. There are so many different things. Number one, gratitude. I mean, like anytime, okay, so we have human emotions, which is the sorrow, the grief, the guilt, the anger, the frustration. But whenever you look at those emotions, and if you can take those emotions and look at them as physical objects, think of like a purse that you don't need or like the shoes that you want to buy, but you can't afford it. If you think of those emotions like that and turn it into gratitude and just let those emotions go, that is going to be the most freeing thing for you and for your mind, and your soul is going to excel and be like, yes, queen, I'm finally awake and you are seeing it for the first time. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to explain it. Okay, I do know how to explain it. So think of yourself as tasting the most delicious dessert for the first time. Okay. And just having that gratitude and that experience, and you are so happy at that moment, that is your true self. Those emotions, being happy and showing joy and showing love and being so pure to the point where you're just like, I am so free, I am happy. Take those moments, and that's what life is about. So if like the people that are so scared of death, like you said, the guilt and the shame is our emotions that we are hanging on to. Yes, like we leave our physical body, but we have other experiences spiritually and emotionally that is still a part of us, but we are just in a different form. Mm-hmm. I mean, like the way, how do you want to say this? How do I want to say this? The way that I look at things now is, okay, so for example, when I'm riding in a car because I'm still not physically able to drive because I have seizures. So the way whenever I sit in a car, I don't listen to music. I tune myself out and I go into a meditative state only when I'm riding in a car, that I send gratitude to the trees for being here for us to give us oxygen to breathe. And I am thanking the sun for providing us with all this vitamin D and all these fruits and vegetables that I can just go pick and eat. I call it sun-fired food. And I'm expressing gratitude in a way that like majority of the people don't even think about. Like if you go outside and you sit in the sun for 30 minutes while you eat pineapple and orange together, that is going to increase your serotonin levels by like 30 to 60% that you didn't have 20 minutes or 30 minutes prior to. It's showing that gratitude and being at one with the earth and being at one with nature that allows us to just be like, I feel good, you know? Yeah. It's the things like that. Another thing that has really opened me up is, I am, not only do I have precognitive clairvoyance, I am an empath and I feel literally everybody's emotions all the time. And what's really cool is whenever you learn to harness your empathic abilities, like everybody is an empath, it's just how far they are in their awakening.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, when I was doing these practices, like grounding, meditating, showing real appreciation to the earth, or like giving back to the earth, because the earth is a living, breathing being. We just don't realize it. We take advantage of it. So whenever I was doing stuff like that, I was just like, I feel everything. I feel the trees talking to me. I feel my dogs talking to me. I feel their energy and I feel their love and their light. And now I have tuned myself to the point where I can see people's auras within 30 seconds of them walking in the room. Or like somebody, this is going to be hard for a lot of people, but like I am able to tell when somebody is about to die or when somebody is able to start their death process because I've already been to that realm. And what happens is their light, their Kundalini light, it gets a lot dimmer. I see this with a lot of people that are, obviously the ones that are older. I see the ones that have the deepest depression and that are going to commit suicide. I see these with people that are just having a freak accident. My one friend's dog had a freak accident and I knew 3 days before she was going to die. Like I just saw her light dimming. Like she knew. Animals know so well that they are going to pass over, and it's a same freeing experience for them. Like they know that it's going to be,
they're going home.
Yeah. Like you just said, they're going home. That's exactly what it is. They're going home.
Yeah. I mean, wow. Jeez. So I'm still just like mind blown at like everything you're saying. 'Cause it's like, you can really feel just the energy that you give off is like, you really took this horrible traumatic event and just completely turned it around.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're just like such a great example for anyone who has experienced an insurmountable amount of trauma, you know, where, you know, sometimes it doesn't look like tomorrow's going to be any better. And you've just turned it into something so much more powerful. And I commend you for that, because it's really hard when you're in that spot. You know what I mean? When there isn't any light or any positivity in your life. And then to just take it from the ground up, meditating, listening to meditation music, understanding essential oils. And the funny thing is, you said doTERRA essential oils. I just had a doTERRA, my favorite doTERRA advocate on, and I just released a essential oils for spiritual growth and everything like that. And we did was talk about doTERRA. So that's so funny that you brought it up, but it's, you know, I definitely commend you for turning this around and just making it a lesson and not being a victim of it. 'Cause it's very easy to be a victim.
It is. And like, once you get out of that victim mentality, everything changes. Your manifestations come directly to you. What I find so during that death process and during meditations and also plant ceremonies, sacred plant ceremonies, I've realized that everything that has come into our life has chose us before we have chosen it. Any object that we buy at the store, any book that we buy at the store, any dog or animal that we adopt that we bring into our lives, people who have children, they knew that before they even got pregnant. Like they manifested that before they got pregnant, you know? So, it's one of those amazing things where like, you can't explain it scientifically, quote unquote. But the spiritual community and people who have had experiences and then their third eye is open. They're just like, I see it. I get it.
Yeah.
But it's hard to explain to people in a way who stay in that low vibration, who eat the processed poison food, who, I don't want to say don't meditate or don't pray, but it's just like they put it on the back burner, or they put their own self-love and self-worth on the back burner. That's not going to help you advance spiritually, and you're going to have to live that life over again. And what really drove me that entire time during those 2 years that I was bedridden and going through all that juice cleanses and everything else like that is the conversation that I had with Raphael. Is he's like, you can come with me, you can come with me and live the same life over again to learn the lessons that you did not during this time, or you can come back and learn the lessons and heal. And I was like, oh shit.
Like, thanks. You fucked me up. Yeah.
Yes. But you know what? What I really appreciate about that conversation that I had with him is the fact that he didn't make it seem so scary, or like that it was a burden in my life that I had to do this. It was the free will option that I chose. Mm-hmm. And coming back, like, I have altered all of my relationships since I've come back, because I realized the ones that were not benefiting me and that were lowering my vibe and keeping me down in that low vibration. And I don't want to live this same life over. I want to heal my heart chakra and to heal my soul and to retrieve that fraction part that I had to let go of, that got scared and ran away, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, if I could write a book from childhood all the way to this day, I don't know how profound it would be for some people, but I know for the ones who are struggling spiritually, religiously, physically and emotionally, like, I know that it would empower them. And it's just because of the life experience that I had to go through. But I'm so thankful in a point that I had to go through that entire medical negligence. And I'm actually thankful that I died and came back, because I am a completely different person, to the point where, like, to the point where I feel so much better about my self-love and my self-worth than I did before, because I wasn't loving myself before. I was letting people walk all over me, take advantage of me.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing, honestly, when it comes to spiritual development, personal growth, just evolving as a soul, is like, raise your hand if you've ever had that problem with self-worth and self-love. I think everybody has had a problem with that. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand, as light workers, as empaths, as star seeds, whatever you believe you yourself to be, we do come and we reincarnate to help others, absolutely. But at the end of the day, it's more of helping yourself.
Exactly.
Yourself. Yeah. And then shining your light in order to help others.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is so important, you know? So what are three things, if someone listening right now, maybe they are dealing with health problems, maybe they are, you know, going through a spiritual awakening, maybe they're questioning everything about their life, what are three pieces of advice that you would give them right now to help them along their journey?
The first thing would be to practice shadow work, to really let go of all that fear, that anger, that resentment, that sorrow and that guilt. Take that, because not only do we have it through this lifetime, it's ancestral shadow work that we are working on, and we have to break those generational habits in order to grow. That would be the first one that I would recommend. The second one, shadow work. I gotta tell you, it's the easiest thing, but it's the most freeing thing also at the same time. For a lot of people, they want to suppress those emotions and not face them. And I don't know if everybody who listens on here knows exactly what shadow work is, but it's basically like, think of it as all of your demons and all of your sorrow and all of your resentment and everything, and you store it in a closet and you don't open that closet for decades. That's going to fester and putrefy and just basically make a huge impact on your soul to not allow you to progress. And, but whenever you face the shadow self, whenever you confront the shadow self, as Carl Jung would say, mm-hmm. it's the most freeing thing in the world. Like, I cannot express that enough. It's, you feel so liberated and so empowered just by shadow work alone.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my favorite shadow work practices is the Ho'oponopono. Yeah. And it's where, yeah, it's where you take your hands on your heart and you sit in a quiet place and you are taking 100% responsibility for your own actions during this lifetime and your generational trauma that you're hanging on to that's in your DNA. And just saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. Mm-hmm. It's hard, but it's so amazing. Like, I feel all the emotions leave my body while I'm sitting outside.
Yeah.
The second one would be just to live your best life. Live the way that you are intended to have the life that you want, because somebody telling you that your ideas are stupid, or somebody telling you that you can't do something, or that you are not capable of doing that, that is them infringing upon your own free will. And who are they to say that? You are your own loving, beautiful being here on earth that are able to live your best life. It's just, if you want to choose to let somebody's negativity bring you down, or you could be like, fuck you, and I'm going to do what I want. Sorry for that.
Don't worry about it. This is an explicit show.
Okay, great. And along with living your best life, alter your relationships. If somebody doesn't inspire you, if somebody doesn't uplift you, if somebody isn't looking at you like, dang, she just did that, or dang, he just did that, I want to be like them, or I want that to be an idea that I have towards my own life goal, then I don't want it. That's what you got to say. I don't want it. If it's not going to inspire me, I don't want it.
Right.
And that's just a thing that you got to look for in life. And then the second one, the third one would be, don't be afraid to do things for yourself. Don't let your own fear hold you back from leaving that toxic relationship. Don't let your own fear hold you back from leaving that terrible job that's paying you no money and that's getting you paycheck to paycheck, because there are so many other amazing opportunities out there. It's just, fear allows us it controls us to live a miserable lifestyle. That's all it does. So once you choose love and light over fear, everything changes. So that would be my top three things.
That's amazing. Ali, thank you so much for coming on, for sharing your story. Oh my God. I mean, I'm still just like listening to other people's stories and just how they wake up and how they just choose gratitude. They choose joy. They choose to step into the light. It's just so empowering. So thank you so much for coming on. Guys, all of her information is in the show notes for you. Thanks again for coming on.